take your Bibles and turn over to 2 Thess. We'll be taking a look at the first 12 verses today, just briefly. You know, we've been going through these letters, 1 and 2 Thess, for the last several weeks. And if there's anything that we've recognized and understood, these letters are very very much a look into the future, you might say. And what I find so interesting about that is that the Apostle Paul was writing to this relatively young church. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that you might expect him to be sharing with a church that's had quite a, you might say, a number of years in living the Christian life. But that's not the case. And I think that's something that we need to remember and hold on to and understand. Because I think it's part of the very theme that comes forth out of the text of Scripture and teaching. You know, we've been all through quite a week, and we're still going through. I was mentioning to one of the brothers, I woke up this morning, and my wife heard a loud noise outside, and I looked, and there was a big front-end loader at my corner, and he had barricades, and he was starting to unload those barricades and blockade my house. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, no, I've got an assignment. I've got to speak. I mean, what am I going to do? I said, I suppose I could walk to church, but at the same time, you know, I'm not that perhaps. Well, I have a wife to contend with too, and she's my better half. And I have to put priority in her as well. But, you know, at the same time, I was thinking to myself, God will make a way. He always does. And I think that's, in some sense, the message to us today. God will make a way. It was so good to hear the reports just before. I don't know how much, you know, you were blessed, but I certainly was encouraged. And you could just sense the Spirit of the Lord just in this place, as it were. And really, that's what we long for, isn't it? To know that the Lord is amongst us, the Lord is with us, and that we're able to declare His praise and worship Him. That's really why we lift our voices. That's why we're here this morning. And then we're going to sort of climax that by hearing from His Word. And that's our joy. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll take a look at our text. Father, we thank You for Your blessed word. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit that guides and directs us into all truth. We thank You for the Lord Jesus and His great love for us and our fellowship that's sweet because of who He is. And that He walks with us and talks with us, and we can know Him deep within our hearts in an intimate and personal way. Thank You that He loves each one of us and wants His love to bear witness in our hearts so that we might know the goodness of God in the land of the living. Bless Your people, Lord. Bless us each one. Give me strength and wisdom and guidance as we share Your word and those things that You've laid on my heart. And thank You for this portion of Scripture, Lord, that gives us such a reminder of Your power and where we are headed, as it were, in this life. So we praise You and thank You all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, I should probably look at that clock, and oh my word, it says 7:30. So this could be a problem, since I'm not very good at time watching, and you've heard that one before about what does it mean when the preacher takes off his watch, and that's nothing. So feel free to flag me down if the clock strikes 12, because I'm not real good at paying attention. All right, let's take a look at our text, 2 Thess 2, 1 through 12. Let's read together. It says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow. Quite a passage. Deep. Far-reaching. Expansive. It almost takes your breath away. And, you know, as I studied that passage, I just kept sensing that there's something powerful here that the Spirit of God wants us to understand. There was a late Bible teacher, Dr. Wilbur M. Smith, who was a professor at Moody Bible Institute, and he suggested that there are three different attitudes one may take about the future. He said the first is indifference. We all know people who kind of have a carefree attitude about the future. They're going to let that future just kind of unravel itself. They're not too concerned about where things are going, and they're not too concerned about what might take place or how they might play into that future. The second group is those who fear the future. I think sometimes it's not, well, you might say, not a little unnerving at times to see some of the things that take place in our world. And let's face it, it can be a very, very fearful place if all you could see and all you knew about was the world you see. You know, man doesn't have that great of a track record, we might say. And so consequently, things like this summit talks is kind of a little bit of help and a little bit of hope in the midst of some very difficult and dark days. And then there's people who have had that hope, not so much based on the world, not so much based on what they hear in the news. My word, if you listen to just the news of man, it's no wonder that you fear. There's much to be fearful about. But you see, we have a word from the Lord, a word from God, a prophetic word, if you will. And as I came to this text and as I studied this text, and you know, there's a lot of detail in this kind of a text. I mean, this is actually, from almost every commentator that I read and from past experience, they all, to a man, suggest that this is one of Paul's most difficult passages, if you will. And as I labored over that, and as I contemplated the details of that, I kept getting a message, as it were, from God about the prophetic power in our lives. It's almost as if the Spirit of God was saying to us, I want you to look down the corridor of time. I want to give you some insight as to what you're going to see and what's going to unfold. And I want you to understand that regardless of what you see, regardless of what you may encounter, I'm there in the midst. You know, we hear a lot in this passage about the man of lawlessness. And our thoughts are drawn to that. And that kind of almost takes center stage. And it struck me that when we hear anything about the Lord, it's almost so understated that you might miss it. I don't know if you saw that. If you have your Bibles open, look at verse 8. Because I think so much of what Paul was trying to communicate to them hinges on that. He says, and then the lawless one will be revealed. You see, he's speaking here about the way of the world, you might say. The way of man, as it were. And man's way is the way of man. It's not the ways of God. And as I think the future unfolds before us, man will continue in his way, not seeking God's ways, but going his own way. And we're going to see, in some sense, in this man of lawlessness, the personality of all of that in one single person. And I think that's what Paul's trying to say, though. The way of man will eventually culminate in this single personality or person called the man of lawlessness. And he will be the embodiment, if you will, of that disregard for God and for the things of the Spirit. He will be merely the personification of evil in our world. But that man, we know his end. For he says here, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. And isn't that really our hope? That we know that regardless of how things may go, that ultimately the Lord will show up. And the Lord is with us. That's our real hope as Christians, isn't it? That's why I may look at life and sometimes be discouraged. But you see, when you gather as God's children here and sing his praises and lift his name up and exalt him, you sense the power of his presence in your midst. And you begin to overflow with worship and adoration. You begin to recognize his goodness to you. You begin to realize that he's sovereign and in control. You know, the Bible talks a lot about the second coming. And we don't really oftentimes hear much about that spoken in churches today. There's very little, you might see, about forecasting what may happen at the end of the era, end of the age. We're somewhat consumed with the present. And in many respects, that's as it should be. But what I think Paul is saying to us here is that you can't live in the present without an understanding of the future. And he's highlighting the fact that there's real power in knowing the future and understanding how God is going to work in this world. And ultimately understanding that in that final hour, the power of God will prevail. I've been in situations, and I'm sure you have, where, you know, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to be overwhelmed with the issues of this life. And sometimes we can get distracted. Sometimes we forget. And I don't know if you recognized or saw that. The reason these folks were having problems is they had forgotten what Paul had said to them in a previous time of teaching, you might say. And one of the difficulties, as commentators will often highlight, is that we don't really know what Paul taught them beforehand. And so what we have here is, you might say, a follow-up on what he has previously taught them. So it's very difficult oftentimes to go back and see how that connects. But I think the reason that we can't go back is because God wants us to look forward. He wants us to look forward to his coming. He wants us to look forward to his working. He wants us to look forward to his coming into our situation and circumstance. He was saying to these dear people who were going through quite a bit of difficulty, and we know that. They were faced with a lot of persecution, and we understand that. And we're living in a world that you might, if you haven't realized it, is facing quite a bit of that. And what do you say to the Lord's people? Do you say, where is God? Do you forget, you say, what God has taught us and told us beforehand? Or do you go back and remember? Do you go back to the foundation of biblical and scriptural teaching? You see, for the believer, there's comfort and hope for all who have come to the word of the Lord and to the Lord of the word. And it doesn't really get much more simpler than that. I don't know that we can really get into all of the intricacies. I happen to, way in the beginning, go online and listen or look for folks who had taught on this. And of course, one well-known pastor, Dr. John MacArthur, had done a series on this many years ago. And he had, I will tell you, he had 5 one-hour-long messages detailing the details of this passage. And because there is so much that we can get into and try to dig apart, but at the end of the day, even Dr. MacDonald said, it all boils down to speculation. We can try to define and determine who all of these personalities are. But I think what the Spirit is saying to us is, I'm the on-site manager of all things in your life and in the lives of all my children. I really don't feel as if I have anything else to stand on but God's promises in His Word. I come daily to the Word of God to be fed, to be strengthened, to see the Lord of the Word, to meet with the Lord of the Word. Sometimes I think we lose our way because we forget those most fundamental facts of life, that it's a walk of faith with a personal God. For many years, I didn't understand that. For many years, I thought God was a concept that you knew about. And He was so far away that He didn't know who I was and wouldn't have cared. Well, was it a revelation or a shock to realize that God in Christ had actually come and died for me on that cruel cross? What a revelation to realize that, as we've said in our first hour, that the love of God is boundless. And it's reaching out to each one of us today, right where we are, right in the midst of what we're going through. And the hand and the power of God will prevail in our lives. You see, we lost power. And as I was laying in bed the last couple of nights trying to sleep, because our neighbor has to have a generator running to keep their house going, it was almost as if God said to me, you hear that hum? You hear that? That's supplying power to that house. And He says, don't ever think that hum isn't alive in your life. He said, the working of God's Spirit through the Word is the music He plays every day in our hearts, if we'll let Him. That's why it's so important for us to come to the Word and to the Lord of the Word. It's never going to get any greater than that. Or we may think of the greatness of this passage and the prominence and the power of this evil one. But what is our sure defense? To walk with God humbly before Him, to hear His Word to us today, and to be encouraged, and to be encouragers. We may never figure out who the personality is that the world will one day see and bow down and worship. But we know who's on the throne. I guess my question is He on the throne of our lives? You know, Martin Luther, the great Martin Luther, who started the Reformation, said he only had 2 days on his calendar, this day and that day. And I think what he was reminding himself and perhaps suggesting to all of us is that's really where we live, isn't it? Oh, I see calendars and they have days upon days. But it's really about this day. And for the believer, in light of that day, in light of that day when the glory of God is revealed against all ungodliness, that day when Christ will return in triumph and great glory, that day when he will subject every power under his feet. And we don't see that yet, and we will not see that till that future day. But trust me, based on God's holy word, he is working to bring all things, both in our lives and in the world, under his authority. And he will run one day be revealed. And no power, either in heaven or in hell, will hold him back. Do you have hope today? And if so, what is your hope? You know, when I was getting close to retirement, people would say, and I heard a lot of people talk about the fact that, are you prepared? They would say. And I'd like, usually it related to financial issues. Are you prepared for the future? And I don't know how that strikes you, but it used to kind of puzzle me and even frustrate me a little, because in the back of my mind, I'm saying, I think so. I hope so. But how can I know? I can't be sure. I mean, I don't know how long I'm going to live. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball. So can I really ever have hope that I will know? This passage tells us you can know. This passage says, it is finished. You know, I was thinking that that's God's word to us. When God comes back, people are aware that there will be power and glory in a way that we've never understood. But the power and glory is in those words on the cross. It is finished. That's our hope. That's our surety. That's our deep and abiding conviction. That if in fact we rest in him, we can trust him for our futures, wherever he may lead. Now, I don't know if my bank account will hold out, quite honestly. I certainly hope it does. But God has reminded me that he's still in charge of my life. And if I will go on by faith, he will take care of my future. We don't mean that we aren't to be financially responsible. But ultimately, there's just so much we can do as humans. And if God is not with us, what hope do we have? But he has come, and he is coming. And his power will be displayed in a manner that the world, we can't even understand. In a twinkling of an eye, we will all be changed. I don't know if you allow those deep truths to minister to your heart. You know, sometimes we get our head down so much that we become discouraged. And we turn on the news and we get doubly discouraged. And God says and invites us to come apart and rest a while. Sit at my feet and listen to me. Hear my words of comfort. Hear my words of deep and abiding conviction. Hear my words of strength. I really feel as if my whole Christian life has been one of desiring to hear from God. His word has given us so much that we can hang on to and hold on to. And the longer we read it and the more we understand about it, it's like we said in our breaking of bread, we're not holding on to him at all. He's holding on to us. He's our security. He's our hope. He's our strength. There's a verse in Luke 2. When the day of his first appearing was about to be manifest. And the angels declared, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news, tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And what a glorious day that was for the world. The long-awaited Savior had come. He came and most of the world missed him. Most of the world didn't recognize who he was. Most of the world still doesn't recognize who that Savior was. But we know. We know that it was he who went to that cross and loved us with an everlasting love. And we come to celebrate that day in and day out. We gather to declare his praise and worship at his feet. Now, you see, the future, well, we don't know what that holds. But those words still stand. It is finished. My power will prevail in your life. But you have to come to me by simple faith and ask me to do that. Are you waiting? Are you waiting? Jesus, when he was about to depart to go back to the Father, he said to his believers, "Let not your heart be troubled." You know, we hear those words over and over again. And what's interesting is that word there is the same word that we find here in verse 2. He says these people were, well, they were shaken. They were shaken because they didn't understand it, what God had foretold to them. And I think, too, if we fail to recognize that God has given us the end, we too can be soon shaken. And that's not a simple shook up. That word there is of a boat being tossed about on the sea and loosed from its moorings. I think God's saying, "No, stay close to me. Stay close to my word. Don't stray. Don't go far, lest you be caught off guard and find yourself in a place you don't want to be. Seek me while I may be found." And consequently, they also were anxious. Do we have anxieties? Certainly, we're all human. What does the hymn say? We're all frail children of dust. But nevertheless, God says, "I am with thee whithersoever thou goest." See, it's the promises of his word that are our strong tower. It's the promises of his walk with us that will help us to endure. He takes us down paths of righteousness for his name's sake and shows us his goodness each and every day. Eschatology, it's a big word, meaning end time events. It's a big study that can take us into deep theological discussions. But I think sometimes in the midst of all the details, we miss the one who's speaking to our hearts. Let's not make the study of the scriptures and the details to take us away from the Lord and from his presence in our lives. I think that's going to be a challenge for all of us. Why do we study the Word? To know more of him and be drawn closer to him. Not to just fill our heads and minds with truth. If that truth doesn't reach our hearts and impact our lives, then it's not accomplishing God's purpose for us, either as individuals or as a church family. While we may not be, you see, agreed as a body of believers concerning the very details of the future, everybody is agreed that God holds the future, and that is our greatest hope. You may have a different view theologically, but the question is, do you have the Savior in your life who stands with you through thick and thin? That's my hope. That's my surety, that in this day, I get up and meet with the Lord, and he will handle my futures. He will handle those giants in my life. He will slay them in his own time and for his own purpose. I'm simply to walk humbly with him and lean on him and cry out to him. And you know what? We'll find him faithful. We'll find him faithful. That's really his message to us today. The future? Well, I don't know what it holds for any of us. But I know he holds the future and is faithful. So dear brothers and sisters, be encouraged. You can study and study and study and miss the word of the Lord and the Lord of the Word. I can attest to that. There are many, many times that in the middle of the deepest and most intense studies, the Spirit of God's tapped me on the shoulder and said, I'm here. Don't forget, it's about me and what I've done for you and what I want to be to you. You know, I used to walk after according to the flesh. Now my desire is to live for the Lord and let him lead on wherever he might. And you know, when we do that, that is our deepest joy. He said, peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives you, give I unto you. Do you have his peace today? He is the Prince of Peace. And when he comes back, he will subject every authority, every evil and wicked power in the world, and his glory and peace and power and joy will prevail for all eternity. That, in a nutshell, is our hope. Take that out into a world that knows nothing of God's joy and peace. Go live that before those we love, that they too might come to know him, who to know is life eternal. Let's pray. Father, sometimes the profundity of your word just overwhelms us. And so, Lord, you have obviously given me an abundantly simple message. And I can stand here before God's people and acknowledge that I've studied the depths. But your Holy Spirit just spoke over and over and over and over again, saying, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Lord, thank you that you've brought rest and peace to our hearts. You told us and reminded us this, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So, Lord, I don't know where you will take us, what paths you will lead us down, but, Father, we know you go before us. Help us to just follow you in humble submission, worshiping and rejoicing all the day, that Christ might be exalted in our lives, as Paul said, whether in life or in death, that he may have the preeminence. And Father, if there is one here today who perhaps has never embraced that truth, has never realized that you died in their place and bore their sin and in your own body on that tree, may they understand that today. The unfathomable love of God in Jesus Christ. There is no greater joy. There is no greater hope. It is found in those words, it is finished. Just come to the cross, and I will welcome you as a son and as a daughter. Just as I am, without one plea. Lord, that's how we come to thee. May you bless your word and the power of your spirit in our hearts. May we go from this place, Lord, rejoicing. Rejoicing in God our Savior and our coming King. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.